Hey friends, this is Christy Young. Welcome to Bite Size Apologetics, where we pursue the truth one bite at a time.
Alrighty, hey you guys, this is Christy Young. I am super excited today to be talking about apologetics.
Before we jump into defining apologetics and talking a little more deeply about this subject, I wanted to let you know that over 64% of you, 64% of you who are watching and viewing this channel are not subscribed to the channel. So would you consider today hitting that subscribe button and liking and sharing these videos so that we can continue to spread bite-sized apologetics. All right, now back to our discussion about apologetics.
I am hoping to get you as pumped up as I am pumped about apologetics. Let's define the term first. The word apologetics in scripture comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to make a defense. So really we're making a defense of something or someone. When you talk about apologetics in terms of Christian apologetics, the goal is to make a reasoned defense of your faith. So you would defend the truth of the gospel. The term apologia is used 8 times in the New Testament, and 7 of those times are in the life and writing of Paul. One of the times is from Peter, the apostle. And so I just want to put on display one example of that. And so in Acts 22, Chapter 22, verse 1, Paul is addressing the Jewish mob that is seeking to kill him. I mean, they are frustrated and angry. They're coming at him, throwing him in the barracks, and he desires to make a defense for himself. He wants to know why they're coming after him, and he wants to hear the allegations that are being brought against him, and then he wants to make a defense. And in Acts 22:1, he says this, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." So Paul is asking to make a defense before this Jewish mob that desires to kill him. And then he goes on to recount his experience with the risen Christ. You know, when he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus and how that went on to change his life remarkably and to flip his life on its head. So the word apologetics refers to making a defense of what we believe to be true. Theologian and apologist Clark Pinnock explains the nature of apologetics in this way. He says, "Apologetics, then, is an activity of the Christian mind which attempts to show that the gospel message is true in what it affirms. An apologist is one who is prepared to defend the message against criticism and distortion and to give evidences of its credibility." Now, I really love Pinnock's definition here because, one, apologetics really is being able to make a defense of the faith and of the gospel, to be able to explain why we believe the gospel is true. Secondly, I love, though, that he says, not only are you prepared to defend the message against criticism, because certainly followers of Christ will get criticism from the culture, from people around them, from people who maybe have not read the scriptures but hold themselves out as knowing things about Christianity, and we've got to be able to combat those critiques with truth. And then, well, in the hopes too that we can bring, like, link arms with other people to bring them along heavenward. And if there are people who start out as critics of Christianity, who then maybe their names are written in the book of life and God aims to save them, will save them, bring them unto himself, and he may desire to use you as the means to do that. And you can do that and be a conduit for that when you have the ability to defend your faith. And then, of course, you and I both know God can even make the rocks cry out to do his will. So I think that's beautiful too. He will bring you up and raise you up and equip you in the ways that he's calling you. Pinnock also says this, "An apologist is prepared to defend against criticism and distortion," because there will be people who will distort the gospel or will add to the gospel, or, sorry, there's a fly in here. There will add to the gospel, or they will define the gospel in an unbiblical way. And we have to be equipped to know the gospel, to be able to defend the gospel, and to have a reason for the hope that we have. So that leads me right to 1 Peter 3:15. This is the one time in the New Testament that the Greek word apologia, which means to make a defense, is used by someone other than Paul. And it's Peter, the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter 3:15 states this,
"But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect."
So Peter is telling us, imploring us, that we, in our hearts, to honor Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense for the reason, for the hope that we have. And so my question to you is, can you make a defense for the hope that you have? And can I speak to you humbly here? Part of the reason that I wanted to jump into this podcasting, apologetic series, all of these things, is because I desire to become more articulate, more reasoned in my own abilities to defend my faith. And then as I'm teaching my children to articulate the hope they have, to understand the gospel, to wrap their mind around the gospel and its implications. And then I want to raise them to be people. My hope is, my prayer, my deep longing is that they would be people who would be followers of Christ and be able to, man, to be able to make a defense for the hope that they have, and to be able to talk with others, to engage with others conversationally about the hope that they have and the reasons for the hope that they have, so that not only would their own hearts be encouraged, but that they would be able to challenge others in a godly way, to encourage others, to affirm others. For people who might be wrestling with doubts, I'm hoping that they can go into those places to have great conversations and stir up a love for Christ, or to help bring to display or to light evidence about Christianity and Jesus that maybe other people are not aware of, or that could just begin to get people thinking, where in those pockets, those spaces where, and then the Lord will do his work drawing his people. But my heart and goal in this series and with my own family is that we would be obedient to God's word, and that we would be prepared to make a defense of our faith to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in us. So can I tell you, that's my goal for you and for your families, for your kids, and for myself and for my kids and for my family. I hope that this series helps us to become more equipped to make a defense of our faith, and to be able to share the reasons for the hope that we have. I just want to underscore this truth too. All Christians should be encouraged. All Christians should have a desire to know what they believe and why they believe it. I mean, every believer should know what they believe and why they believe it. That is an admonition from Scripture. And so you can't really be a believer if you don't know what you believe, right? Like, if you don't know what the gospel is, then you're not really a believer and follower of Jesus. You're not really a Christian. And so, one, we need to know what we believe and what the gospel is. And number two, we need to know why we believe it. Why? Why do you believe what you do? And so for kids, I especially want to throw this your direction and let you wrestle with this. Why do you believe what you believe? Is it because you've been raised in a family that has attended church your whole life? Is it because somehow deeply in your spirit, the Holy Spirit has been ministering to you, and you believe that the Word of God is true? You've seen evidences of the Lord in your life. Is it because of the great weight of evidence? Is it because of family or friends? I just want to encourage you to wrestle with whether you believe the gospel is true or not, and then why you believe it's true. And then it may be that you don't really know the answer to those questions, and that as we get to go through these videos, I hope you wrestle with them and wrestle with your parents and talk to your parents and begin some great discussions together. And I hope that you get some clarity. I just pray for clarity for all of us in these endeavors as we study how to be great Christian apologists. Oh, and then I just wanted to underscore that point, that you guys, 1 Peter implores all of us to become great apologists, to be able to make a defense of our faith, and to be able to give reasons for the hope that we have. This admonition or encouragement applies to all of us, not just to pastors or to elders or to teachers, but to every single believer. Every single person should be able to make a reasoned defense of their faith, and to be able to speak and engage with another person about why we have the hope that we have. And don't worry, if you can't do that today, my hope is that stay with me and let's get better together, and let's look at this in bite-sized ways, and with bite-sized apologetics, let's begin to understand and see the evidence for Jesus and the evidence for the trustworthiness of the Bible, so that we can articulate not only the gospel, but our whys, our why we believe that the gospel is real and true, why we believe that Jesus is the risen Christ and our risen Savior, and that he is Almighty God, and that he came to earth in human form, fully human and fully man, that he laid down his life for us, that he took our sins on the cross, he paid our punishment so that now we are free and saved and justified in his sight by no work or doing of our own, and then that he was raised 3 days later, he went to go be at the right hand of the Father, and that now we are free, and that with that freedom, we will actually lay down our lives to live for him, to that we've been crucified with Christ so that we no longer live, but now he lives in us, and we spend the rest of our lives aiming to tell others about who he is. Okay, and then I wanted to mention too, Christianity is not an anti-intellectual faith. I just want to encourage you and to affirm you in knowing that Jesus really was the ultimate apologist. He used logical arguments to refute his critics all the time in Scripture. And then he tells us, one of the things I love, and it's so simple, is that he tells us in Matthew 22:37, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. God desires for us to love him with our minds, with a thinking, reasonable mind. He desires for us to love him and to know him. And as we talked about in prior videos, you know, as we studied objective truth and as we studied whether truth matters, in those episodes, we talked about how all over Scripture, Jesus lays out evidence and then asks his followers to believe. He lays out evidence and then asks his apostles to believe. He literally always is looking for ways to logically refute his critics and then to lay out evidences of who he is so that we might believe. Okay, I love this too. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21, Paul says this, "Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good." And so Paul is telling us to test all things. Don't just believe things because people say them to you or because people have strong feelings about things. Test them and then hold fast or hold on to what is good. And so I'm excited. My point is this. I'm excited. This is kind of the intro video to jump into apologetics, in terms of us actually learning and equipping ourselves to make a defense of our faith. So take this ride with me. I'm super excited to see y'all, and I'll see you again in the next video. Love you so much. Bye. Let's take a break now for some comedy cravings.
What did the egg say to the chef?
I don't know.
You crack me up. Where do baby cows eat lunch?
I don't know.
In the cafeteria.
Wait, why did the Oreo go to the dentist?
I don't know.
He had no feeling.
Why did the grandma want wheels on her rocking chair?
I don't know.
So she could rock in a little.
Why do ducks have feathers? To cover their butt quacks! Why don't pirates play cards when they're at sea? Because they're always standing on the deck.
Maddie, what are you doing?
I'm writing a letter to my math book.
Dear math book,
please grow up and solve your own problems.
I don't know what to say. What does a nosy pepper do?
I don't know.
It's jalapeno business.
Okay, never trust atoms.
Why?
They make up everything. What do you call a cow with no legs?
Ground beef.
All right, you guys, I'd like to leave you with one final thought. I would like to say one more thing. I mean, I'm sure that's not a surprise to you. I keep loving to say more things. But I would like to say one more thing. You know, God in Scripture commands us to be prepared and ready to make a defense of our faith for the reason, for the hope that we have. He, through the disciple Peter, he tells us that, commands us that in 1 Peter 3:15. And so that is one reason, the greatest reason really, that we should desire to be Christian apologists, which just means to be able to talk to people about why we believe in Jesus and why we believe that the gospel is real and true. But secondly, can I tell you this? When we set out on the journey to become great apologists, guess what that does in your own heart and mind?
If you're wrestling with whether Jesus is real and true, with whether the Bible is trustworthy, if you're wrestling with whether you believe all of what the Bible says, if any number of those things, as you take this journey to begin to study the evidence for Christianity and how to make a reasoned defense of your faith, even if your faith is shaky or wobbly or you're questioning it or it may not be there, my hope is that as you study the evidence for Christianity and the evidence for the trustworthiness of Scripture and the evidence for Jesus, that you will actually get in your own heart and mind greater confidence. My prayer, my hope is that your faith will be strengthened or that your faith will come into existence if it's not already there. I just pray that each one of us, as we aim to be obedient to God's word in being able to make a defense of our faith, that God strengthens us as believers, that he puts steel in our spine and helps us to appreciate why we believe what we do, or that we can believe that what the Bible says is true, so that we can walk forward more confidently, we can be more assured of the hope that we have in heaven. I'm just hopeful for all of the blessings that come from us digging deep into Scripture, committing Scripture to memory, and studying the evidence for the Christian faith and for the trustworthy nature of Scripture. And I pray that your faith will be strengthened. Alrighty, you guys, here are some questions for you to discuss as a family. Number one, what does the Greek word apologia mean? Number two, if we are determined to become Christian apologists, what does that mean? We will make it our aim to defend who or what? And finally, number three, what is God's command to us through the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3:15?
And remember, always ask questions, seek truth, examine the evidence, and pray for wisdom. Bye!
Alrighty, you guys, thanks so much for watching. Please share these videos and like and subscribe to the channel because it helps support the ministry so that we can continue to create content.